Ribble Radio, broadcasting from Hagland Village on Romney Marsh, 24 hours a day. Channel Radio.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Who Cares Wins, the health and wellbeing show on channelradio.co.uk. It's me, Angela Bryer Stevenson, in the studio on this glorious sunny day. In fact, I want to take all the kit and go and sit in the car park because it is glorious. The sun is shining. It's beaming down from this beautiful blue sky. I'm happy. And of course I would be, because in the studio with me I am joined by the delightful, I feel you've been here already before, Simon, but the wonderful Simon Thorpe from the Expressions Partnership. Welcome, Simon, to the studio.
Well, thank you very much. I've been here before.
You do, yes, in a very strange way. It's like different. Old, you know, old familiar roots here.
Absolutely.
But we are going to be talking all things happiness slash unhappiness, so we'll always look at the other side of the coin.
Indeed.
And we're going to be exploring the subject. We're looking at research, we're looking at the fabulous work that Simon does, both within organisations and schools, research projects that he's been involved with himself. So we've got all sorts of information to pile down the lines and the network cables to you, wherever you may be listening to us, whether that be on your phone, your tablet, your computer. Maybe you're taking a moment and you're outside your lunch break at the office and you're outside in the sunshine with your earphones plugged in so you can hear our dulcet tones. Well, mine anyway. So let us know if you can't hear us. I'll try all my best things to do it, of course. And if you want to call us, don't forget we have the live phone in. If you wish to call us, have a question for Simon, perhaps, when we get engrossed in this happiness topic. You can call us, don't forget, 01303 874 998, or you can tweet us, don't forget, at CaresWins on Twitter. And I will then follow through the Twitters, and if I can get them answered by Simon. If not, if he runs out of time, as we always do on this program, Simon, so just to warn you,
okay,
we may have to follow on with comments on Facebook and
yeah,
maybe even a page on our website.
Great.
With all the information that we want to share with you this afternoon. And of course I have Facebook up, so if you are on Facebook and you want to comment on our Who Cares Wins radio show page, please pop along, give us a comment, give us a like, and we will hopefully pick it all up if I've got all my magic fingers working, and we will reply to you. So welcome, Simon. I just wanted to say a big, big, big thank you also to our sponsor for our Who Cares Wins radio show. I mentioned it on our birthday show a couple of weeks. We have a wonderful sponsor in the name of Kent Connections magazine. A lot of you may know Kent Connections magazine if you're involved in health and wellbeing services, whether it be therapy or meditation, any variety of hypnotherapy, reflexology, all sorts of services. And they do a fabulous magazine, little A5, and it goes out to a variety of venues in Kent and clinics. I have some here in the studio if people want to come and collect one. And we are now featured in there, and they are sponsoring our show. So fantastic. Thank you so much, Kent Connections. And we look forward to maybe more sponsors coming through that door. I know that people are itching to contact me, and I'm working through my emails, so bear with me. I obviously can't get back to you today because I'm in the studio. Now, before I go any further, we polled, did we not, Simon? Between you and I, we have been tweeting like mad about happiness. And I posed the question because you and I were very interested to know, and I know that we've talked about this, and also you've done some research about being happy, what it means. And interestingly, do you remember, Simon, I don't know if you're old enough, do you remember the old Love Is?
Oh, completely.
Posters.
Absolutely.
And the cards.
We used that at our workshop, actually.
And I thought, actually, when you say that, it's like putting out there, happiness is. It was almost like, we need those posters. We need
Indeed.
To start getting those back out there. And I had some replies.
Oh, go on.
Yes. Are you ready for this?
Go for it.
Dun, dun, dun. I need a drum roll, don't I? First of all, I had Action for Happiness. I had to actually pull that out because it went out on Twitter and I thought, how bizarre. We're talking about happiness and there it is in my timeline.
There we go.
From Action for Happiness, and they have on there by the wonderful Mathieu Ricard. It's a good French accent. Do you like my French accent?
Yeah, better than me.
And says, happiness is a deep sense of flourishing, not a mere pleasurable feeling or fleeting emotion, but an optimal state of being. And
very
I thought, well, that sets the scene. We've also had Nikki Ratcliffe of at Virtually You. If you follow Nikki on the Twitter, she's been on the show a couple of weeks ago. And she posted on our Facebook page saying, being happy for her is when the sun is shining. So I assume she's got a big smile on her face today. And she's out walking in our beautiful countryside with her husband. So,
very nice.
Again, what I would engage with, the simple things in life.
Yeah.
We've also had a few retweets going out there with happiness. Katie Melbourne on Twitter, at Katie Melbourne, posted, happiness is a skill we can all learn. which is actually a quote by Helen Everly. And we have a phone call already.
Great.
Let me get them on the on Channel Radio's phone call. Who do we have on the radio? You are through to Who Cares Wins. Hello. Can you hear me out there? Have I cut you off? Maybe I've cut you off. Okay. Maybe they'll ring back. Maybe it was a wrong number.
Maybe
they wanted pizza.
Indeed.
I've got notifications going like mad. We've got retweets going on. We've got Miriam McGuirk retweeted us. Happiness. How do we encourage people to be happy at work? We're going to find out about that, aren't we? And the other thing I also tweeted was another quote from at Kari Joyce. And true happiness comes to those who dare to live out their passion.
Absolutely.
No matter what anyone else tells them.
Mm.
Now, this is good. Listen, I don't hope you realise that Simon is umming and ahhing at all these quotes. He's agreeing with me. He's nodding.
Indeed.
I know that you can't see him, but he's nodding away. Simon, first of all, for our listeners' perspective, and more importantly as well, where have you come from? Who are you, Simon Thorpe?
Who are we?
You are involved with the Expressions Partnership. Tell us a little bit more. What is that? What do you do?
Okay. Expressions is an organisation that we set up 11 years ago.
Wow.
And it was based out of being made redundant.
There's my phone
again.
Should we
go again with the phone? Let's try that one.
Let me see if I can get them on the phone properly now. Who cares wins? Is that Hazel? Let me get you on. Let me see if I can transfer you to my desk. One moment. Now, Hazel, can you hear me?
I can.
I can hear Hazel.
I can hang up. And you can hear.
I can hear Hazel.
And can you hear Simon, Hazel?
I can. Hi, Simon.
Hello,
hey.
Hazel.
Well, Simon's just briefly telling us about the Expressions Partnership, but Hazel Adley, you also have a little link, do you not, to happiness? Because I noticed over Facebook and Twitter at the weekend, you ran your workshop.
Yes, I did my Design the Life You Love workshop in Beeksbourne near Canterbury.
Fantastic. It was all good. I saw some positive feedback.
Yes, it was amazing. It was a small group, but we got to go more depth to the needs of each participant. It was actually a real joy.
Wow, we like that word joy.
We do.
Do you know that's my middle name?
There you go.
See?
Fate.
It's appropriate.
Absolutely.
Now, Hazel, obviously Hazel's been on the show earlier in the year. In fact, it was our first show of 2015. Hazel, you and I were talking about all sorts of things, but with your Designer Life, I noticed one of your postings was to... Now, remind me, it said something about, do you want to get happiness back into your life? Was that how it was phrased?
Jill, I can't remember the exact wording, but I think the concept was around... Would you like to live a life that is optimally happy for you?
That's right. Mm. I know, because I picked it up and thought, oh, happiness. We're talking about that
absolutely.
Today. So did you have feedback? What are your discoveries with regards to happiness and designing the life that you really want?
I guess for me it starts from my own journey. And I realised, and I talk about this in my workshop, that happiness is a choice.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that when I was younger, and I lived a life that wasn't as happy as it could be.
Oh, right.
And there was a speaker at a workshop who said, how you feel is your choice. And I really didn't get it for a while. But as I kind of started looking into it, I realised that actually, if it's my choice, it's my responsibility, and therefore I need to learn how to change how I feel to be happier.
Definitely.
So that's where Design the Life You Love kind of stems from. It's giving the participants greater choices for designing and creating a life that will truly make them happy from their own unique kind of place right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm there. I'm with you already. And Simon's nodding away.
My head's sore. I'm nodding so heavily. I've got to say, first of all, what a great name for a workshop. I love that.
Thank you.
Oh, that's brilliant. I mean, we design workshops, but that's a fantastic name.
It is, isn't it?
Other thing I found interesting was, unfortunately, you said it was a small group, so I'm guessing it wasn't as perhaps many people as you wanted to have there. Is that a fair point?
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think the one I did previously was as part of the Well Festival at the Quarterhouse in Folkestone. And that was probably more people than I would ideally like, as far as connecting with each person in the room, giving them a little bit more of my attention and focus. So I'm kind of learning as I go that there's an optimal amount somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, and I think what you'll find as well, which is what we find when we do our workshops, is the subject of happiness is a weird subject.
Yeah.
I mean, I even have HR directors saying, it's just the name happiness, Simon.
Yeah.
And my response is always,
isn't it? Give me that feedback. Seriously, it's fluffy stuff.
Fluffy. you came to a workshop, didn't you, in December?
I did,
and the poster
yes.
says a no-go sign that says definitely no fluffy stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all scientifically proven and researched, but so many people just don't like it because it seems like it is a weird and wacky, don't understand it. But it's a great thing you said. With smaller numbers, unfortunately, you think, well, more people want this, but we don't really tap into it. So we must, after today's show, we must get together, Hazel, and talk about this stuff, because it's some great things happening out there, and we should really do what we can to help people help themselves.
On that note, Hazel, are you running another workshop? Have you got another date in mind yet?
No, I am currently seeking venues to partner with.
Oh, great.
So maybe creative venues, holistic venues who would find a taster workshop in Design the Life You Love, something that their clientele would ideally like.
And that would be anywhere in Kent, or are you interested in anywhere in the UK?
Anywhere in the UK. But Kent and London are my focal points at the moment.
Well, we'll put the word out there. It's already gone over the internet waves. So, of course, we will post that as well on Facebook to post out, because I know there's a few groups on Facebook that Who Cares Wins, and I know myself I'm included with the sort of creative side of things. So whether that will be picked up within Whitstable and Faversham, I know there's a few venues that are utilised around there. You may already know of them, Hazel. But I will link you in with those, yes.
But links are always good.
Oh, we like links, don't we? Mm. We do like links. Oh, well, thank you for calling in, Hazel. It's a delight to hear your wonderful tones.
Can I just add something about
happiness?
Please do. Just before we go. Something that I've learned is happiness is a way of life.
Say that again, happiness?
Happiness is a way of life.
A way of life, yeah.
That's how it is for me. So there's lots more within that that you will cover, I'm sure, later on. I just wanted to highlight that it is a choice and it's a way of life when you make that choice.
It is. And I've just found your quote that you said on Facebook and Twitter. Are you ready to take greater responsibility for your happiness?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, have you seen in these kind of shabby chic shops you can buy these things these days?
I was saying that when you've had a glass of juice.
And one of the signs says happiness is an inside job. You've probably seen that. Mm. I'm sure listeners have also seen that. Get that poster, get that sign, stick it up in your house, because that is so, so true. And people often look in the wrong places for happiness. And I'm looking forward to discussing that more in the next
few moments. Absolutely. And actually that relates to another of our followers and also listeners, Lisa Settle, who I often talk about. She does some great work for charities as well. But Lisa Settle, who is a director of Telcare Limited, which is a communications organisation in Kent. And she actually posted, happiness is not outside of us. It comes from within. Mm-hmm. You see, so we all know what we're talking about. She says it's the natural outcome of a meaningful life. But I think there is that element that Hazel, you've mentioned there about choice.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So great. Well, it's lovely to speak to you. We'll see you again soon, I hope, very soon, somehow, whether it's networking, tweet ups, or maybe back in the studio.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Hazel.
More than welcome. Take care. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Oh, the wonderful Hazel Adley there. So if you want to follow Hazel, it is at Hazel Adley Coach on Twitter. So, Simon, before we lose more of our time, because I will witter it away and we'll be gone. Happiness. So first of all, yes, your organisation of the Expressions Partnership runs workshops, goes into organisations from happiness workshops, which I know you do.
Indeed.
Plus loads of other stuff.
I mean, management, leadership, team development, all the kind of the good stuff to help organisations grow, school inset days, working with voluntary organisations. But happiness and well-being has really taken off in the last, I'd say, 4 years.
Yes.
We're still doing lots of leadership and management programmes and helping organisations with that. But we also throw in happiness in those workshops.
Yes.
Because we'll talk about later on, I'm sure, is the link between happiness and motivation.
And motivation, it's huge. Yeah. Now, one of the things I wanted to make sure we talk about was this whole subject of happiness. You yourself have done your own polls. Mm. We did one, which is how we met at the Wellbeing Symposium last November.
Indeed.
And you were doing a poll there on what makes people happy or what being happy means to them. But it's not just general, oh, well, what do you think? What makes you people happy? Also, you've been involved with research and studies, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, I've got this in front of me right now. We actually asked, there's probably about 500 people around that at the symposium last year. And we had a massive pinboard and bits of paper. So let's come to the stand, put your view on the flip chart or on the pinboard. And if I read a two or three out, because it's quite interesting, you've got things like music, weekly date night.
Yeah.
You know, that's important these days, right? career satisfaction, spending time with people I love, a massage once a week.
Yes.
Laughter, dancing, shopping, football. Steak, but in brackets, medium. I'm not sure if well done makes them happy or makes them unhappy, but definitely steak, medium.
Okay.
Peace of mind. There's loads, literally, and there's so many. But what's interesting is it's different things to different people.
Yeah.
So
we're not a one size fits all.
And we
is
shouldn't
it?
Try and pigeonhole people in. Well, if you have that, if you've got that, then you're happy,
you have
right?
To have it. Yeah.
Oh, and that's where it goes wrong. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So the research, I know we were talking before we came live on air that you were involved and have actually met Mark Williams,
indeed,
who I often bang on about because obviously with my mindfulness hat on.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to see him in May up in London with Ed Halliwell. But you've actually met Mark and chatted with him, and that's how this whole what makes people, if you like, the flip side of what makes people unhappy.
Yeah.
And you were saying that actually some of the research is showing that comparison.
Indeed.
And dare I say, Facebook.
Yeah, it's been proven through many different research ideas that it's about don't go compare. So, in honesty, I don't mean anything about advertising.
We're not marketing.
Don't go compare. Yeah, there's two or three things worth sharing. Mark ran on a TV program called Tonight Program in October last year.
Yes.
He got six random people and put them into random pairs.
Right.
He then got each pair to do a very, very basic sorting exercise where it was like the fridge magnets of colours and numbers.
Okay.
And anyone could have done it, you know. And each of the three pairs did this in the time frame. He then went to each pair individually and said, wow, great, guys, great work. Okay, person number one in your pair, here's an envelope. And the person went, okay, opened the envelope and there was a £10 note. This person was very excited and happy and very grateful and appreciative. Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Easiest £10 I've earned in my life. And then the second person in the pair, they said, well, here's your envelope. And the second person opened the envelope. And in there was a £20 note. This person was like, wow, she's brilliant. And the first person said, what? That's not fair.
So and immediately became very, their happiness was...
Yeah, and became unhappy. They were mildly grateful for the fact they got £10.
Yes.
But they compared, well, wait a minute, we did the same job.
Oh,
and the same
envelope.
Thing,
yeah.
So why? It's not fair. And therefore, they became very unhappy. And it's the same thing consistently. When you start comparing, people get a bit hacked off. Let me give you a true example, another one. We run a management program called the Management Academy, and this lady in a workshop said, a friend of mine, okay, a friend of mine, aka
I love
herself,
that, in inverted commas, yes.
A friend of mine, was perfectly happy at work, getting paid what she got paid in the jobs that he does. And then on the Saturday evening, met up with some fellow students she was at college with years ago. And they were all went to the same kind of job and so on. And then she realised that she was the least paid of her circle of college student friends. And so arrived at work Monday, demotivated and unhappy.
Yeah.
What's the boss going to do then? Wait a minute, what happened to you the weekend?
Yes.
You were perfectly okay.
And I had no control over that.
I've done nothing. Yeah. And suddenly. But actually, my question is going to be this about these reunions. How truthful were the people at reunions? I don't know if your listeners have been to any school or college reunions and people pull up in a Ferrari.
Or
there's
work reunions. I know there's a lot of these groups now where you used to work at a certain company. I know LinkedIn and some of the other group. Social media is great on one hand.
Yeah.
But you have these reunions, as you say. Yeah. And
are they really truthful? Are they just trying to say, I've hired a Ferrari for the weekend to make it look better? And it's all about
my husband's car.
Exactly. And actually, the whole comparison thing is an issue.
Yeah.
However, it's a positive thing in when you compare down.
Yes.
So when you compare up, and I'll be very clear, I'm not saying we shouldn't be ambitious and have ambition. If someone you think, wow, they've got that, I wouldn't mind being that person or being like that person.
Like a role model.
Then great.
Yeah, or a mentor.
But don't keep going for it because you think you have to. Mm. Is it really what you want? But when you compare it down to someone who is less fortunate in your eyes than yourself, completely different experience. And you start saying, well, yeah, why am I moaning? Mm. Why am I whinging?
Yeah, that sort of reality check sometimes, isn't it?
Everything that I need, and really I should be more grateful for it. So.
Indeed. And it's interesting because I just come back from India. We obviously were chatting.
Indeed, yeah.
And again, that sort of whole approach of we take so much for granted in England and some of the Western world anyway, that running water and it just turns on the tap and it appears. But
absolutely.
And, you know, the sanitary, the loo, the toilet, all those sorts of things that actually, yes, we often miss what I call the beep obvious.
Indeed.
And it is where, yes, it's about, you know, there's an element of comparison, I suppose, if you use that word. But also for me, it's about that reality of just being aware of, forget, and it was a lesson I learned many, many years ago in my corporate world. I did a lot of comparison. I worked in human resources and seeing other managers being promoted and it's not fair. What about me?
Yeah.
Da, da, da. And realized that a lot of my unhappiness was from my own making, from my own thoughts, from my own assumptions. And that's a whole program I'm sure that we could cover another day. But it is about that comparison model that my father, bless him, God rest his soul, sat down once and said to me, just forget everybody else. He said, are you happy with what you get paid? And what you do, do you think that's a fair wage for the amount of work and input and performance and output? You know, do you think that what you get given is a fair? I was like, well, actually, yes, I did. So it's your point exactly that actually he got £10 out of that envelope. Wow.
I have £10 more than someone else.
But actually that person got £20. Well, and you can also feel great, can't you, by being pleased for them.
Absolutely. This happened literally about a month ago. I was on the tube in London and it was probably, I don't know, early or mid-morning. And I went down one of the corridors between platforms, completely empty. There, we were both plugged. I was plugged into my phone listening to something on the,
right,
on the radio, or it was, and a guy who I didn't know had the same thing. So I kind of overtook him, and I looked in front of me on the floor. There was a £20 note. So I thought, this is weird. So I went down, I picked it up, and I turned to him, and he sort of looked at me and said, oh, quite a result.
Yeah.
Then he bent down and picked up a $100 note. And I went, wow. I went, oh,
$100.
So there you go. But actually, we both
instant,
unplugged ourselves.
Yeah,
exactly. And I said, well, what do we do here? He said, well, let's go hand it in. But can you find anyone on the tube to hand something into?
I was going to say, that was probably a challenge, wasn't it, Simon?
Absolutely. So what I did was, and I'm not trying to big myself up here, I put out on Facebook and Twitter, look, I've just found £20. Any suggestions of what I should do with it? It's not mine.
No.
I can't hand it in. The moment's gone. What should I do? I ended up giving it to a coffee shop, which you have like a coffee you can buy for someone who's homeless or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
And then come in and say, you've got any credits, and that £20 probably bought about,
great,
I don't know, six coffees or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But the guy with $100, no idea what he did.
Don't know what he did.
If he's out there listening, call me.
Yeah, let us know. Tweet us, at
@GetUsWins,
and tell us what you did.
Indeed.
In fact, that reminds me of the story. Some of people may have seen it. I think it actually went round on the social media. A 12-year-old boy in Birmingham, he turned down a £20 gift from a girl's mum after he had returned her lost phone. The mum was shocked when she offered the 12-year-old boy £20 for returning her daughter's phone, and he turned it down with a message saying, don't worry about the money, just do something nice for someone else.
Brilliant.
When there was a little smiley face next,
absolutely,
to the message. And it's like that Pay It Forward film.
Indeed.
All of those things, actually, when you start to look at, you can actually feel happy by a lot of the resources that are inside of us.
Oh, yeah. But then that's, again, about, I'm sure some listeners are saying, well, that's all well and good if you've got the money. What if you haven't?
Yes.
There was a project, and I forget which mobile phone company it was. I'm sure it was either Vodafone or Orange. And they said, look, we'll give you a gig ticket to a gig of your choice.
Right.
If you volunteer a certain amount of time in a voluntary project.
Oh,
So either getting graffiti off a wall or clearing a park up or anything like that. So this happened and they got the gig ticket, went to the gig, and they were then interviewed afterwards. And I think it was something around about 80% of people said it felt great. A, I got to go to a gig, didn't cost me anything.
Brilliant.
But B, I kind of want to go back and do some more of that stuff. And these are young people. There's a great view that elderly people volunteer because they've got time on their hands. And that is true.
It is true.
But giving and volunteering is not just A, about money, but it's about time and of all ages.
Yeah.
And interesting enough, these younger people were then almost protecting their now clean wall and present park saying, oi, that's mine.
Yeah.
Get on, get away. And so actually it's a way of a community protecting itself and having a better way of looking and living. It's a fascinating subject.
Now, let's have a little music break.
Please.
So our listeners can absorb some of those thoughts and perhaps even tweet us with some questions, or if you want to give us a call, as Hazel did earlier, then 01303 874 998, or again, we're on the Facebook page as well, which is Who Cares Wins Radio Show. We're going to have one of your chosen tracks, Simon, which I know is very dear in all sorts of ways, but it is actually Monty Python.
Absolutely.
Always look on the bright side of life, but there is a slight...
Yeah.
Personal note to this song, isn't
absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. My father, bless him, passed away. It'd be 3 years ago this July.
Oh, wow.
He was a retired vicar when he passed away and therefore had done many funerals himself.
Sure.
And he was adamant in his kind of dying wishes to say, look, I don't want people singing at my funeral and crying. It sounds awful. If someone could have enjoyed themselves and celebrate what was good. And we obviously shed a few tears and so on. But the parting track was this track. And we all sort of looked up and sort of smiled and said, right. Celebrate what was good as opposed to mourning what's gone. And Dad was all about that. And so, it's very uplifting too. It's a bit joking as well.
Of course,
but it's very personal to me as well. Yeah.
Well, enjoy, listener, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life.
For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of spit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Come on, boy, cheer up.
Always look on the right side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Where's things happening? What you lost?
Always
nothing!
Look on the right side of life.
Nothing will come from nothing, you know what I say?
Always
cheer up, you old bugger. Come on, give us a grin. There you are. See? It's nearly the end of the record. Here we know.
singing another tune in a minute. All right. I see a girlfriend just run off with an Argentinian polo player.
Okay. Your husband just been camped with a babysitter.
And he's from Norway.
All right. So your team's losing 15-0 at home to Barnet.
It's not the end of the world, is it?
So come on, cheer up. Moan, moan, moan. That's what people do these days. Especially you old people. All you're going to do is sit around and moan as you take your teeth away. Now come on, girls, put the kettle on, have a nice cup of tea. That's it. All right, come on, you groovy disc jockey. Better get this rubbish off now. Bet you better cut to something depressing like the news.
Channel Radio, broadcasting from Hagland's Village on Romney Marsh, 24 hours a day. Channel Radio.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins, the health and wellbeing show on channelradio.co.uk with me, Angela Bryer-Stevenson, and I'm joined in the studio with Simon Thorpe here from the Expressions Partnership.
Hello.
And Simon, we were giggling there at the last few phrases of that song, the wonderful Monty Python song, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, and actually how, yes, there are so many people that moan a lot, but also, interestingly, the last part of that was about the media. And I don't know if you've probably heard some of my craziness on air, but I often encourage people to consider listening, or maybe even I want to apply to become the weather forecaster. And maybe this is a challenge for me. I want to actually tell people about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's going to be rainy or snowy or stormy, but I want to do it with a smile on my face and to be uplifting that it's going to be a storm today. It's going to snow today. Mm-hmm. Rather than if you look at how they deliver the weather, when it's going to be grey, it's going to be miserable, it's going to be a horrible day today.
Well, I'll tell you what, I went to university in Florida, okay, and if you ever go to Florida, you know it's a very hot climate,
sunshine,
humid.
State.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they love it, but actually it can be too hot and too humid and too, oh, geez. And actually a storm, it's like, hey, it's raining, it's broken the air.
It's
required. So,
it's interesting. With
we need rain.
But media is something that you yourself have also been involved with sort of research-wise.
Yeah.
And you were talking to me earlier about positive pages in perhaps media.
Well, the funny thing was, myself and my colleague have been speaking for years about this and saying every time you open the newspaper or turn the radio on or the news on, all you hear is the negative stuff. And there seems to be this view that negative news is good news because it sells. But actually it just infects us.
It is a bit of a virus.
It is. And it sort of gives us this kind of feeling of started my day. I woke up thinking terribly happy and then this happened. But him and I had an idea years ago of a thing called positive pages, and we should come up with an idea that a newspaper is just about positive stuff. And lo and behold, I think it's happened by somebody else, and they're looking to have a page in a newspaper.
Fantastic.
It's all so great. I'm glad it's being done. But some of your listeners may well get the Metro newspaper.
Oh, yes. If you travel to London, yes.
Indeed.
Or Faversham, I think you can pick it up.
Okay. Mm. Well, I sometimes go to London. I open it up and it's got like a good deed feed section, sort of green box on around about page 5, although I don't think it's the same page every single day. And it's where people have just tweeted in or phoned in or texted in some good stuff. And it's things like, thank you to the person who helped me after I fell down the tube station stairs in Oxford Circus. I really appreciate it and thank you for looking after me, kind of thing. So little things like that.
Great.
Through to someone saying, thanks to the person on the train at Victoria who got my coffee when I left the train and left it there by mistake. Little things, but it's just gratitude.
Sort of gratitude.
Indeed.
Log in a way,
the
isn't
gratitude
it?
Attitude, you know.
Post, yeah.
So it's great.
Fantastic. Now, obviously, you see, you've sent it out in the universe, so people have picked up those vibes, Simon.
Mm.
But something that you are involved with a lot is happiness at work.
Mm.
A lot of people, and we spoke about this at the beginning of the show, happiness, some people label it as fluffy, really, you know, haven't got time to do a course on happiness or how to be happy. But it is so important with happiness, and happiness and motivation, the link between the two.
Huge. Absolutely. I mean, how can you be happy if you're not motivated? The two are completely linked together.
Mm-hmm.
So organisations out there listening will want to get maximum productivity from their people, want to have an engaged, motivated workforce.
Definitely.
But to do that, we've got to think about, well, what makes them happy?
Mm.
And there's a few tips I've come up with that might really help with this. And the first thing really is create a culture where it's positive. So many organisations have a meeting to discuss things when they go wrong.
Yes.
What went wrong? How did it go wrong? Who's to blame? Let's shoot someone.
Yeah.
And really, when's the last time you had a meeting to say, we won that contract, or we had a fantastic year, or this word? Why was that?
Yeah.
How was that? And how much time do we spend focused on those things? Because here's a real clue with this. Once you do that, you build a database, or I call it a recipe of success.
Mm.
And these things work. So when perhaps it doesn't work, rather than pulling your hair out and going crazy about saying who's to blame, say which ingredient wasn't there.
Was missing.
Because the whole world hasn't fallen down. Your company hasn't gone bad.
No.
But one ingredient, or perhaps two, are missing. And therefore it's quicker to bounce back. Resilience. The other thing to mention is to make sure you are playing to people's strengths.
Yes.
People often say, I've done it so many times in workshops, but I don't like working here. Well, why do you still work here then?
Yeah.
Or call anything else. Well, yes, you could. And there is work out there, despite what the media say.
Yes, there is.
And even in a recession, we do a happiness at work or a motivation at work survey in our programs. And there's like pay and benefits, job security, satisfaction, the boss, co-workers, and so on and so on. And every group we've worked with, job security has been in the top three during the recession.
Yeah.
Apart from one sector. And that sector is the recruitment sector.
Mm-hmm.
And we do also work with recruitment people because they know there are jobs out there.
Exactly.
So the doom and gloom we're hearing, don't always believe it.
Well, our producer, Paul Andrews, who you may know from the Business Bunker show he does on a Tuesday on Channel Radio from 1 till 3, he actually also runs a company called Jobs in Kent. And he's often heard talking on other radio programmes about this whole sort of myth in a way that, you know, there's no jobs out there.
Yeah.
There are.
Have
we
you
know.
Looked? Have you looked everywhere?
Yeah. So it is. But going back to that other point, that tip about thinking about praise, I know that Ken Blanchard, and I'm you're familiar with his work, about the sort of one-minute manager and the one-minute praise and the one-minute reprimand.
Indeed.
But for me, I just go back to simplicity again. That's why I work with simple things. I'm a simple mind, little bear. Is think back when you were a baby, or even parents or adults who are supervising the, you know, growing up of a child. You encourage them at birth and to walk, to crawl, to eat, to say mama, to say papa, and you applaud them, you smile, you praise them for any tiny ability. And I often talk to clients and say, remember when you were learning to walk, did your adult, your parents say to you, well, you weren't that good, Simon, so I wouldn't bother again, because you fell over, you tripped, and you're a bit wobbly, so maybe it's not your strength, don't bother.
Yeah.
They didn't, they clapped, they hugged you, they gave you praise and encouraged you to get up and have another go.
What worked, let's try it again.
And I want organisations to just remember that concept of actually not saying, especially from my background of financial services, and I know you've dealt with some traders, that we don't want them to be blasé, if I make a mess and, you know, lose a million, doesn't matter. But it's that element of, we can assess the risk, but also we do need to sometimes step outside that comfort zone and have a go.
Yeah, I see you've got me right on a topic now, and be crazy. Schools. All right, schools.
Yes, yeah.
The same thing in schools. I come from a different school background. I've been to different places when I was growing up, moved around quite a bit. But I remember vividly being told as a child, stick to sport, Simon. That's the best thing you can do. So I had this kind of belief, and we'll talk about the belief engine.
Yes.
We all have a belief engine, we call it. And the belief engine stores up and has a view of the world based on either past experience or what we're exposed to, back to the media again. So you get this belief that I'm no good at maths, therefore I can't get a job that requires any kind of academic ability, and therefore I'm destined to do jobs that perhaps don't require that. Nothing wrong with that, by the way.
No.
But it does kind of limit your opportunities, when really it's about, well, maybe I can get good at something else.
If I want to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what if I'm not good at this? Maybe I can be great at doing something else. But the schooling system now, and I used to be a governor until a week ago.
and that's only because of time, Lucy.
Only because of time, absolutely.
I've got to try and,
focus what I do. We do plenty of work with schools. And it does seem to be a bit of a misnomer and a mismatch between school and life.
Yes.
As a governor, one of the things we found was, what is our ethos? And one of the things we found on the DfE website was the ethos for a primary school is one thing, to make sure the child is secondary ready, i.e. secondary school.
Yes.
I said, oh, you're missing a trick here. This child's going to be ready for life chapter two or three, not just school.
Yeah.
And so there's two or three things for schools. Number one, I think personally happiness and well-being should be on the curriculum. And there are certain people out there who agree with that view.
That's Mark Williams, isn't it,
indeed,
as well?
Indeed. Him and I had lunch and we spoke about that and put the world to rights. it's also about making sure teachers are leading by example. We actually do have a few things. We've run recently a workshop that says emotional well-being for teachers. And then we also had we've got a session called Can You Teach Happiness, which is an inset day for schools.
Wow.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is when children take part in school sports day, don't give them all a medal for taking part in the race, because you're not preparing them for life.
Yeah.
Someone may say no. Exactly. And there's going to be some children who are great sprinters or fantastic at balancing. Others will be brilliant at maths, English, drama, art, sciences,
yeah,
humanities and so on.
Yes.
Let's find what their strength is and amplify and help them find that, become great at doing it.
Definitely. And that's something, funny enough, someone I know that used to work for the examining testing.
Oh, yeah.
Get my words out in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
But you take a car test or a motorbike test, you have to pass or fail. And interestingly, he was saying that it was often a real shock to the 17-year-old because that's often the first time they'd heard the word
failed.
You know, no, you can't drive. You've got to come back and have another go.
Absolutely.
And you're like, what do you mean? There's sort of that almost like every... I think it's sometimes a bit too blurred that, yes, let's give everyone opportunities. Let's give everyone that, you know, oh, you're all wonderful and you're all great. And I think we've lost the fact of, it's not about so much the competition, although I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
There's an element of
life,
intention.
Right?
There's an element of motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also about, if somebody isn't that good, it's about, well, is that really what they want to do?
Mm.
I know when I was working with some of the school children and workshops I did, talking to one of the chaps, and he was like, you know, well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to be a James Bond. And
be
he had
famous.
This sort of bling and this famous sort of, you know, outlook on life. But actually, and you'll know this as a coach, Simon, that when you actually engaged and chatted to that boy, really, that was a passion of his. And so what I was doing was just linking, well, have you read the books? Do you know the background to how Ian Fleming brought the idea of James Bond? And,
yeah,
and James Bond, you know, where was it? He was in the services, you know, he served.
You
so is that something you're interested in? And and then the games, you know, the PlayStations and all that, you know, what type of games are they playing and what interests them, rather than seeing it as all negative?
Indeed. Absolutely. It's about,
well, soapbox there.
But it's true, isn't it? It's about finding the positive things. We work with plenty of organisations to do graduate intakes.
Yes.
And the common theme that I hear quite a bit, as do my colleagues in the company, hear, well, a number of graduates come into the business with great aspirations, great drive, which is brilliant.
Yes.
But they expect to be CEO within a year. haven't got any sort of reality. Now, I know for a fact, I'm not going to be negative about this, I know for a fact that organisations, the business world and education establishments are now talking to each
other.
Great, yes. It means that hopefully in at least the next generation,
they're
going to have...
Yeah,
otherwise Generation Z are always focusing on what's in it for me.
Yeah. And I think, I'm just quickly checking Twitter there, we've got another follower, Carl Scheck, who is in Munich.
Well, welcome.
Hello, Carl Scheck.
Fantastic.
He's known as 123 underscore Scheck.
Very
I hope
simple.
I've pronounced that correctly with my German accent.
So,
So yes, just monitoring Twitter there.
Well, let me stop you. Germany, interesting fact. Okay, there's a groundbreaking law that they're talking about in Germany to make sending emails and receiving phone calls after a certain time in the evening illegal. Because it's not this work-life balance, which doesn't exist, called work-life harmony, I think.
Yes.
It's about trying to harmonise.
Integration.
Absolutely. So really, Germany, I'm not quite sure. I learnt this about 6 months ago. I'm not quite sure it's been passed or not.
Well,
but they're saying, I mean, Germanic way of working is different to the UK way of working.
Yep.
And I understand from working with German companies that if you are seen to be working longer than you should be, you're pretty much called into the office and said, well, why is that
What's
the case?
What's going on there?
But back to school. So here's a quick interesting. If we're trying to get work-life harmony, why do schools set homework? Don't we start the whole thing by saying, you do your day at school.
And then finish.
Then have some more work at home.
But you don't.
Exactly. Now, I know the reason why they're doing it, but we've got to rethink this stuff. Does our behaviour, does what we're doing, help us achieve what we want? And all too often with all the work we do, people's behaviour is completely misaligned. I'm not sitting here as a saint. I mean, far from it. I don't get it right all the time.
No.
Far from it, indeed.
We're humans, aren't we?
Indeed. But doing more of this stuff, you remind yourself that actually what I'm doing right now is not helping what I want to get. And when that happens, you only have two choices in life. Change what you want, often by downgrading it, or change your behaviour. We don't do that. We keep behaving the same way, and want different stuff.
Mm. Or expect
exactly.
the life to change.
And blame other people for not happening. Absolutely. And that's the thing about unhappiness.
Mm.
So it's really about saying, well, you know, it's in my reach, it's in my own DNA to some degree.
That's reminded me, that's something on the action for happiness that we've mentioned already. Let me just dig out my little paperwork here. Action for Happiness, which again I've mentioned on Twitter, and I retweet lots of their quotes and thoughts. But the founder, now I'm going to test you, Simon.
There we go.
Lord
Lanyard.
There we are, see? Bonus for 10.
There you go.
Where's my little quotes gone? He actually had a little quote on the website, and it says, happiness means feeling good about our lives and wanting to go on feeling that way. Unhappiness means feeling bad and wanting things to change. Mm. Interesting there, how we want things to change.
Yep. Not
it's nothing to do with us. No, I'm perfect.
Other people's fault. They've got to change.
Else. Yeah, absolutely. Time is whizzing by,
indeed.
Simon, and I am. I really want to play another song just because you've brought it along. It's All Star.
Yes.
Got a little tune
it's a
here.
Funky tune. We it's like it. It's uplifting.
We're going to be uplifted.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. And then we're going to come back afterwards to make sure people know how to get hold of you, more importantly. And some other bits of research. So I'm going to press this button here and hopefully I have to press the right button. Can we start singing now, son?
It's not good for
no, okay. We'll just bop.
Yeah, she was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place. They say it gets colder. You're bundled up now. Wait till you get older. But the media men beg to differ. Judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire. How about yours? That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
Well, we were just bopping there. Welcome back to Who Cares Wins on channelradio.co.uk. We are fast approaching the end of our hour's show. 60 minutes does fly by. You're listening to me, Angela Bryce Stevenson. You may have noticed the absence of Jan. Just to remind your listeners, she hasn't disappeared for good. She will be back, but she has some other priorities at the moment that she needs to take care of. I'm joined in the studio by Simon, and Simon Thorpe from the Expressions Partnership. Simon and I have been talking about the subject of happiness / unhappiness, mm-hmm. what it means to people and us and workplace. And I must also point out we've had another comment on Facebook from our wonderful listener, Gwen. So hi there, Gwen. She's tuned in listening to the show. She says, happiness to me is keeping in touch with friends, also listening to music. We were just mm-hmm. talking about that, Simon, weren't we? Mm-hmm. I would be unhappy if I didn't have music to listen to. Giving a home to two rescue cats, that's some of my happiness reasons. Hope you have a good show today and she'll be tuned in. So brilliant. Thank you, Gwen, for that. Absolutely, wholeheartedly agree with you, Gwen. We were just saying, literally, seconds before that tune finished, that music, especially for me, is something that definitely brings all sorts of emotions up, but a lot of them are big smiles. And you were saying, Simon, that that song was used in the film the Shrek.
Film Shrek.
He was like, you know, hey, I'm a monster, but
yeah, it's fine, it's good, yeah. Well, interesting, one tip I will give to people, which I learned about a few months ago, is you've heard the phrase going back to your happy place?
Yes.
Okay, have a happiness scrapbook.
Yes.
Okay, now it might be a physical book which you put photographs and things in, but it might be a YouTube channel, it might be a podcast, it might be just a playlist. I have a playlist, yes, and when you're feeling not so great, because it affects everyone, just play that or look at something. I remember when I was traveling a lot when I first started the business a number of years ago, my wife recorded my son, my eldest son, saying, I love you, Daddy.
Wow.
And he's on my phone. And ever since I was feeling lonely, I just played that. I thought, it's all good. I'm doing this for a reason. Yeah. And it's all that. So simple things, whatever someone's happy place is. Go to it.
And if it's a picture or a postcard or a piece of music or stroking your cat or your, I mean, I know my dog is my happy place sometimes.
There you go.
I just look at his face and he's like, just this unconditional love for me. It's awesome. So before we disappear, Simon, just to clarify a few things, we were talking before about in the green room about this 14-day challenge of yours.
Yeah, I had an idea literally a few months ago. I came up with an idea of a 14-day challenge for better well-being, particularly at work, but although it can be outside of work as well. And the idea is to take, if most people got smartphones with a video on them, take a daily video diary. And just keep it handy and just see how you're doing stuff. So, for example, things like hold a meeting and start with good news. Again, what worked. Compliment somebody on something. This is a very difficult one, this one. Stop yourself judging people.
Yes.
It's I think it's nigh impossible, although that's quite negative. but it's a very difficult thing to go and do. Go for a walk at lunchtime, observe your surroundings, connect with someone at work who you don't know.
Yes.
How many times have you been into the accounts office and say, oh, hi, I'm from production, you are in accounts, great.
Yeah.
Volunteer your time, increase your activity, learn something new in your place of work by asking for assistance, choose a healthier alternative when eating and drinking, greet everyone. And we've got to try and distance ourselves from what you affectionately call the mood hoovers. You know, every organisation's got a mood hoover. You know, the people you go to say, good morning, and they say, what's good about it? It's Monday.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, yeah, okay, thanks.
Or people say, how are you? And you go to reply, but they're halfway down the corridor.
Oh, it's the best one. If you ask 100 people, how are you, the highest percentage of response you get is, yeah, not too bad. Sorry, not too bad, because normally my life sucks, right? But today it's not too bad. Seriously, don't lie to someone, but say, yeah, I'm okay.
And there's the, which we can't do because we're before the 9 o'clock watershed,
indeed.
But there's the option people say, I'm fine. And that's an acronym for something,
yeah,
which
exactly.
We'll talk about on another
indeed.
On another
So yeah, 14 day challenge. Try it out.
Yay.
And just keep it a daily practice.
I'll post that on Facebook so we can see. And yeah, people, listeners, if you want to comment or to post on our Facebook page, we'd love to hear from you. What makes you happy? So not just for today's show, but just to actually hear your feedback and your thoughts. We've heard from Gwen. We've heard from Hazel, and also people that have tweeted in between. Now, the other thing that you mentioned to me, I met Tom Malaburn at Wellbeing Symposium 2 years ago.
Indeed.
When he did the wonderful Shakespeare sonnet.
He did.
And then he linked that with mental health.
He did, and right.
But I know that you and he have worked together.
We got together and
and
stuff. Brilliant actor, a lot of time for Tom. The organisers of this symposium got us together and said, you should work together. And my instant response was, but Tom, what you did was great. I can't add anything different to that. But we kind of bumped heads and we came up with a workshop, a 90-minute workshop. We have two 90-minute workshops.
Brilliant.
One that we run called the Happy Workshop. So an organisation could do it in a lunch break or a bit more than lunch break. This one was called To Be or Not To Be, You Decide. And very simply,
fantastic,
what it is, it's Tom acting out three soliloquies from Hamlet. And after the first one, him and I debate what's going on. After the first one, I then coach Hamlet in character.
Yes.
As to his ambivalence, his depression, his indecision, his unhappiness.
Yeah.
The second soliloquy, we did the same thing, but I asked the audience for their views and what they want me to coach him on or ask him.
Okay.
And the third and final one, we get the audience to coach Tom playing Hamlet live. So
fantastic.
Not only do we pass on some coaching skills.
Some great work.
It's brilliant. And I think what I really to do is I want to launch this. Mm-hmm. I really do, because it had such a great impact when we ran this as a pilot. I think it's great for organisations, great for conferences, great for schools. And I think the Americans would absolutely love it.
Yes.
We've got to get over to the States.
Yeah, we've got to get you out there.
Oh, it'd be great fun.
Get you on a plane.
And Tom's great. He's absolutely brilliant. He really is.
Well, we could carry on this conversation. I'm sure we will, Simon. But for now, we need to start to bring it to a close. So, important contact details for listeners that are inspired, want to know more, because you're teasing them with lots of information.
Indeed.
Here. How can they get hold of you?
The best way, I guess, would be the website, which is www.expressionspartnership.com.
Marvellous.
And on there you'll see Twitter, but Twitter is at Expressions2003.
Marvellous.
That's the best we got.
Marvellous, marvellous. I have been tweeting and your link is in there. So if you
absolutely
follow Who Cares Wins or at Cares Wins, you'll find that I've been tweeting like mad with Expressions2003.
Yeah, get in contact.
That is the man. And just give him a contact and then he can get hold of you and maybe have a phone call if you like the good old fashioned dog and bone.
Why not?
Before I disappear, just to make sure that you are aware that this coming weekend is Easter. So if you're celebrating Easter, have a wonderful time. And so Easter Monday is time for you to relax, chill out, family time. So we're not on air next Monday. It will, of course, be a repeat of today. So if you haven't had enough of us, then, of course, you can tune in again. We are repeated as well on Thursdays at 12 o'clock on channelradio.co.uk. Up at 2 o'clock, we also have Richard Hubbard back in the house with his wonderful tunes and requests, as always. So don't go away. Don't go too far away. 2 o'clock, tune in with Richard. And we are back live with a recording that I did an interview with a Dr. Yehudi Gordon, and I went up to his Harley Street Clinic, and we talked about bioidentical hormones and bioidentical hormone therapy for women. So very interesting guy, very interesting topic. That will be on air on the 13th of April. And then we are also back live in the studio on the 20th with another guest. And maybe Jan will be back, depending on her priorities. So we wish her well with all of her activities. Simon, thank you so much
for having me.
Just mind dumping your information and research and just teasing us there with the information.
Yeah.
I hope you, the listener, have enjoyed just some of the areas we've talked regarding happiness. But don't forget, do tweet us, do let us know on Facebook if there's things that you'd like to share with us about what makes you happy. And again, like me, they could be fairly simple things. Just seeing the sun or seeing the rain and smiling. So thank you, Simon, and we will talk to you all again next week. Have a happy Easter.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a wonderful world.
Perfect.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.